Now this morning I'm going to get straight into the Word of God because there's a lot I want to cover. Now I'm continuing with this theme that I've been teaching on over the last few weeks of the high priestly ministry of Jesus. And we've already seen that the ministry of Jesus is of a better order than the Old Testament setup, the Aaronic order. We've seen that the ministry of Jesus is based on a better covenant. And it's established on better promises. I want to look at this morning at the ministry of Jesus in a better sanctuary. And you'll see what I mean by that as we go through the scriptures. And so the brethren are going to give me Hebrews chapter 9. And we did touch on it last time, but I'm not going to go back and recap on that. Because in Hebrews chapter 9, we read that the ministry of Jesus. Now, we've seen and we've compared the old and the new. And we know the Bible is divided into the old covenant and the new covenant. Well, the old covenant was ministered from an earthly sanctuary, an earthly tabernacle or a temple. But the new covenant is ministered from a better sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary. And we're just going to compare these two this morning as we go through this chapter. So the first 10 verses of this chapter, chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews, show us five things about the earthly sanctuary, which it's important for us to know because it shows that it's inferior to the heavenly sanctuary. So let's just read verse 1. It says here, "Then indeed, even the first covenant had all divine service and the earthly sanctuary." Now it sounds obvious what I'm going to say here, but the earthly sanctuary was on earth. Because it's important for us to know that, because it does highlight certain inferiorities being on earth. The earthly sanctuary, the tabernacle or the temple, whichever one you want to use, was constructed out of earthly materials, which themselves were subject to decay. They were subject to damage. They were subject to wear. Any of you that has a house, that you own your own house, even if you rent your own property, you'll know that things do wear out. They do need to be replaced. The structure of your building, your home, has to be maintained. I don't think it happens so much here in Malta, but in the UK, with a lot of the weather that they have, the mortar between the bricks has to be repointed from time to time, because it comes loose and falls out. So things have to happen. You know, they do decay, and we do have to have their upkeep. So there is damage, there is wear. And this was the same with the earthly tabernacle. Things did need to be replaced. You know, it wasn't something that was constructed that lasted a lifetime. There was constant work being done. And we actually have a great illustration in the book of Hosea. The book of Haggai. Where the temple has actually become neglected and fallen into state of disrepair. Why? Because the people weren't bought their houses, and God leveled this as a complaint against them. And he rebuked them for it. He says, "You're living in paneled houses. Your houses are nice. But what about the house of God?" You know, we take so much time in our own homes, making sure things are right, making sure they look nice. And it's not wrong for them to look nice and be nice for us and comfortable for us. But the people of God had forsaken the temple of God, the house of God, and allowed it to become in a state where it was looking a bit tired and run down. So that's one of the issues of the earthly tabernacle, one of the inferiorities. Now, in the Old Covenant, under God's direction, the earthly sanctuary required a priest to be mediator of the covenant. We've touched on that previously. And the priest himself was only a man. That brings inferiority. Because he, as a man, was himself under the curse of sin. And you know, I've touched on it previously, and it's something that we often bring up, particularly as we come to the Lord's table. The high priest, when he came before God, and he took the blood of the sacrificed animal into the most holy place, he first had to bring an offering for himself. He had to offer to God a sacrifice for his own sin before he could go in and atone for the people's sins. You know, that shows inferiority in the old covenant and in the earthly sanctuary. But then secondly, I'll say for the sake of time, I've got to go through them quite quickly, but you can meditate on them in much greater depth. So first it was on earth. Number two, the Bible tells us in verses 2 to 5, so I'll read these quickly, it says that the tabernacle was prepared, the first part, in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. And for those of you that remembered here a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned the book by Andrew Murray, that's the title of it, The Holiest of All. If you get it and want to read it, it's a great book, talking about going through the book of Hebrews. So, the holiest of all, it says, which had, verse 4, the golden censer, and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now in chapter 8, and we looked on this last time, we read that Moses was divinely instructed by God to construct the tabernacle. We read of that in Exodus, where God gave him all of the pattern and the plan for the construction of the tabernacle. And we said last time, and it's one of the inferiorities of the earthly sanctuary, that it was only a shadow of things that were to come. The temple was a pattern that was based on the heavenly. The earthly was based on the heavenly. It was a pattern, it was a shadow. It was a type of what was to come. All of the types in the Old Testament are foreshadows of what is ahead. We see that those that we talk about, the types of Christ in the Old Testament, they are just a foreshadow of Jesus when he came. I touched on it last week, that in the holy place, and we've just read it there, was the golden lampstand, the light, the table of showbread on which the 12 loaves of bread were stacked, the altar of incense. In the second part of the tabernacle, as you went into beyond the veil, there was the holiest of all, or the most holy place, or the holy of holies. In this place was the Ark of the Covenant. And all of these have their types as shadows of things to come. The light, as Jesus, the light of the world. The table of showbread, Jesus as the bread of life. They are all pointing to the future as for something that's ahead. They are all shadows. And again, I mentioned it last week, so I won't dwell too much on it today. And just the layout of this furniture in the tabernacle shows us, if you could go up and look down from above, like an aerial view on it, you'll see that they're laid out in the shape of the cross. Starting up the top here with the Ark of the Covenant. Then as you come down, there's the altar of incense just beneath it. Then off to, I've got to get the way you're looking at it, off to the side, the golden lampstand, and then the table of showbread on this side. And then you come down to the other altar, and the final, the brazen, the laver, and then the brazen, I've got it wrong with that, the brazen altar, then the laver. So you have it in that shape of the cross, as you look down upon the tabernacle. Again, it's pointing to the future. What would be accomplished in Jesus? You know, it's all about, as I'm sure you've been seeing, as we've been going through Hebrews, it's all about the sacrifice, the sacrificial system in the old, and pointing to Jesus as a sacrifice in the new. The old and the new. Something that is, again, obvious from this chapter, verses 6 and 7. One of the problems with the earthly sanctuary, yes, it was on earth, which was subject to its problems itself. Two, as we've just read there, it was just a shadow. It didn't have any substance to it in the old, because it was foreshadowing what was coming in the new. Number three, verses 6 and 7, let's read these verses. It says, now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. You know, I don't know whether you've ever really thought about it. I know I've brought it up quite a few times, and I do mention it from time to time when we take the Lord's Supper. But here the Bible tells us, it says, into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year. And then it says, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins, committed in ignorance. Just think, how many times was the holiest of all, the most holy place, entered? It says, once a year. And then the high priest went alone. What this is really showing us here, that the earthly sanctuary was inaccessible to people. There was no access to God. Only the high priest, not even the priests, could go in there. They could go in and do their duties around the holy place in the tabernacle, the bit just before the veil of the temple, of the tabernacle. But only the high priest could go beyond that. You'll actually find the common people, they could only go to the courtyard. They couldn't even go into the holy place. You know, this earthly sanctuary was totally inaccessible to what we might call the normal person, the common person. Verses 8 and 9 give us the fourth problem with the earthly sanctuary. And it says, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. That's, again, showing us the inaccessibility. It says, 9, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. What we see here, yes, it's reminding us that it's inaccessible. But it's also showing us here that it says, while this tabernacle still stands, there was no access. So it's showing us that it's only a temporary sanctuary. Now, the tabernacle was only temporary because it only was used while the people of God were wandering in the wilderness. Eventually, when they came into their own land, and after David's time and Solomon constructed the tabernacle, the temple, was it a more static structure? But even that was temporary because that was destroyed. That was rebuilt and then destroyed. Then it was rebuilt. Then it was destroyed. And it's going to be rebuilt. It is going to be rebuilt. We're yet to see that fulfillment of the prophecy where the temple will be reconstructed. But again, the temple or the tabernacle were temporary structures. Like the church, what we often refer to as the church is a temporary structure, because the church is not the building, the church is the people that meet. You know, you and I are the church. It's not this room. It just happens to be the place where the church gather and meet. We could have church on the beach. We don't need to be confined to four walls. Now, we might have a little more difficulty on the beach with things like sound systems and things like that. But then, as I'm often reminded, Jesus never used a microphone either. And 5,000 or so people heard him. So it was a temporary structure. The veil in the temple, or the veil in the tabernacle, that divided the holy place from the most holy place, that separated man from God. And again, as we know and as has been touched on, when Jesus died, that separating curtain was torn in two. While that veil remained, yes, it would always be inaccessible to man. There could never ever be access to God while the veil was in place. But when Jesus died, and remember he said this, he says, no one can come to the Father except they come through me. When Jesus died and that veil was separated, that veil was torn, God granted access to you and I. We can have access to the Father this morning, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus did when he died on the cross. And that veil was separated. That separating curtain was removed. Access was granted under the new covenant. You know, so while the earthly sanctuary was there, there could be no progress. So it was only a temporary structure, and it had to be replaced. It had to be done away with. We touched on it last time when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem in AD 70, it put an end to the sacrificial worship because there was no more altar on which to slay the animals to sacrifice them. Why? Because it was destroyed. But as we just go on, verses 9 and 10. Number 5, the fifth problem with the earthly sanctuary, it shows us in verse 10, it says, from verses 9 and 10, it was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. The earthly sanctuary, which is clearly shown here, it says it cannot make perfect. The earthly sanctuary was ineffective to change lives. If we were under the old covenant today, we would not have a changed life. Why? Because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Every day, the priests would offer the same sacrifices for the same sins that were committed. The blood would only ever cover the sin. It never washed it away. We were talking the other day at work. One of the guys at work, he took out a coffee cup, a tea mug, And one of the girls at work, they commented that how dirty his cup was looking. And he said, I've washed it, but it doesn't come clean. And she said, well, give it to me, I will clean it. Because you've got to put effort in to clean the coffee cups. You know, because if you leave them, he told us what he did, he left the coffee in the cup for several days. And it's got a brown stain on the inside of the cup. And that's very much like what the sacrificial system did. You know, it covered the sin. It might have, like, washing the cup out, but leaving that brown tea or coffee stain on the inside of the cup. But the blood of Jesus, when he died, it took the stain out of the cup as well. It took the stain off of our lives. No longer our sin is covered, our sin is washed away. Amen. And the Bible calls these daily sacrifices that the priests had to offer. It says, these rituals, it says they're fleshly ordinances. We read it in verse 10. Fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. You know, the fleshly ordinances could only deal with the external. They couldn't deal with the internal. It needed a better covenant. It needed a better sacrifice to deal with that. So let's quickly, because I've just a couple of minutes left this morning, and the time really runs away with us when we're having fun. I'll continue next week. From verse 11 in this chapter, and the writer, he shifts from looking at the earthly, now looking at the heavenly. As he starts off, verse 11, he says, but Christ came. Here's a good but. You know, we've listed all of the problems of the earthly sanctuary. And then he says, but Christ, but God. Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. That is not of this creation. Amen. It wasn't like the earthly tabernacle. What God is doing, the earthly sanctuary was being done away with. Why? Because it was replaced with their heavenly sanctuary. Christ came as high priest of good things to come. With the greater, just look at these words, the greater and more perfect tabernacle. There is a sanctuary, there is a tabernacle, but it's not of this creation. It's not constructed out of earthly materials. Forgive my flippancy this morning, but Jesus is not having to repoint the new tabernacle. He's not having to maintain it. He's not having to upkeep it materially. You know, he doesn't have to get the ladders out and up the walls. Why? Because it's a heavenly sanctuary. The earthly tabernacle or the earthly temple may have been beautiful. It may have been ornate. It may have been surrounded by, and you read it, the fine linen, the gold, and all the precious stones. But the heavenly sanctuary is greater and more perfect. It requires no earthly priest. It doesn't require someone who themselves has to take an offering for their own sin before they can minister for us. Because Jesus is the high priest. He is the one that took his own blood into the most holy place. He is the one whose blood was accepted as the offering for sin. All of the shadows and types of the old are fulfilled in the new. In the old covenant, they're fulfilled in the new covenant. The old priesthood are fulfilled in Jesus, our great high priest. Because it goes on here, it says, for the law. So this is Hebrews 10, verse 1. goes to says, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. So number one, the heavenly sanctuary is in heaven. It's again, it's obvious, like the earthly sanctuary was on earth. We see number two, and I'll quickly go through the points and I'll continue it next week. Number two, the heavenly sanctuary is effective for changing lives. We'll study through that a little more. The old book couldn't change lives. It couldn't change the inside. It only changed the external. But the new sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, this new covenant, is effective for changing inside. Doesn't just deal with the outside. In actual fact, Lord spoke to Samuel. Then he says, don't look at the external. Look at the internal. Look at the heart. That's where God is looking. That's where God is working. God starts on the inside, which then permeates to the outside. Number three, the heavenly sanctuary is not the shadow. It is the fulfillment.
Amen.
And again, we'll look at that in depth next week. Why? Because the heavenly sanctuary is based on the completed sacrifice. Never has to be repeated. The earthly sanctuary, it was repetitive, time after time. But in the heavenly sanctuary, the sacrifice is complete. It's done. It's finished. Once for all, the Hebrews tells us. And we'll look at that theme next week. So for there, we'll leave it there for now. Just looked at the inferiority of the earthly. Next week, we'll look at the superiority of the heavenly. Amen.